A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation. Care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's KSL's unrivaled Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, knotted up at 17 apiece between the 6-3 LA Rams and the 7-3 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's a good one down there in Tampa. And, yeah, we're excited about watching some football on a Monday night. Excited about getting our Thanksgiving week started off the right way. So let's go ahead and do it really the right way by starting things off talking to our Jazz insider, Ben Anderson, who joins us on the program. It's our 805 Cut.
The Cut at 805. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
All right, kicking things right off here. Ben, thanks for joining us on the program, man. Quite a busy weekend for you and the Utah Jazz.
I just watched Matt Gay miss a field goal against his former team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I know.
It's a miserable way to start the day.
Well, but listen, he made another one, and he's made the other two extra points, so he's still doing all right.
Maybe he'll get a chance to win the game still.
No, I know. Listen, I didn't want to bring up the negative, but you went full negative. But we were trying to just – sports are amazing because stories like that happen. He got flown into L.A. on Saturday, and then he's in Tampa on Monday kicking against his former team, of course, because that's how storylines work. So Donovan Mitchell got his money. He got the thing we were expecting, anticipating that he would get, the $195 million max contract after your rookie contract is over. And I look across the league and I start to look at – I couldn't help but look across the country and see that Gordon Hayward went to the Charlotte Hornets for $120 million for 4 years. And I thought, okay, which one would you rather have? And I think that when you play that game against Donovan Mitchell, you lose that game most of the time.
Yeah, no, I think what the Jazz did was smart. And I think the money they gave him – I mean, he was owed it. He deserved it. I think he's earned that contract. And he's certainly the guy you want to have in space your franchise for a long time. And I think you can look at what happened with Gordon Hayward during his first opportunity to sign a max contract, where the Jazz didn't go out and give it to him. And they realized, you know what, that probably ended up being a little bit more of a headache than it needed to. I don't know if it's the reason why he ultimately left the Jazz, but you've got a guy who's happy to be here, who's a great face for the franchise, who loves the community, and the community loves him, and he helps you win basketball games. There's just no reason not to give him all the money you can.
But aren't we better off without Gordon Hayward, though? I mean, I'd rather have Donovan Mitchell than Gordon Hayward at this point. So the Jazz in free agency are more kind of it's what you know as opposed to what you don't know. Do you like these signings with this free agency period?
Yeah, I think the Jazz – I mean, they could have certainly swung for the fences a little bit more and tried to get some different players that maybe bring different skill sets. For the most part, they didn't increase – their kind of versatility on the floor. They didn't really add anything that they couldn't do before. You know, we know what Favors does. Favors does a lot of what Gobert does. He just doesn't quite do it as well. Maybe shoot the 15-footer a little bit better. But yeah, I guess they went with a little bit of the safe pick, but Derek Favors is good. But Derek Favors makes you a better basketball team, and he can play in the playoffs, and he helps you win games. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's not the most exciting way to play, but winning games is what it's all about, and it's what's going to keep the fans happiest. It's what's going to keep them most competitive in the playoffs, and Derek Favors helps you in that sense. And then you brought Jordan Clarkson back, and you made a pretty big commitment to get him back. So I think what they did was smart. I think they certainly could have tried something different and swung for the fences a little bit more. Maybe they should have done that in the draft, and they didn't. But I liked what they did in free agency.
Is Jordan Clarkson like a guy that maybe hasn't reached his ceiling? I mean, is he a guy you see just that could get better and better as his career goes on?
I don't think his ceiling is significantly higher than what we've seen, but I think we can see more consistency out of him as he sits in a spot where he has a defined role, where he recognizes, hey, I've plateaued a little bit, but this is what's being asked of me. You know, he was in L.A., and there was this fight among a bunch of young stars trying to figure out kind of who's going to be the guy on this team, who's going to be the next Kobe that's waiting in the wings to replace Kobe. And none of those guys ever developed into that, and the Lakers gave him all this money, kind of thinking he was going to be the star, and then they traded him to Cleveland, and it kind of ended up being this weird thing of, what's my role? And now he's with the Jazz, and he's clearly a sixth man, and he doesn't have to be the guy, but he kind of has a green light whenever he steps on the floor to do whatever he wants. And if he can get more comfortable doing that, he can get better. Now, it's not going to be up to 20 points a game. Maybe he jumps up to 17 points a game or something like that. But he can just get more consistent because he's so comfortable.
Ben Anderson, our Jazz insider for KSLSports.com, joining us here after a weekend of now what? Timing-wise, everybody was waiting for that for that big money offer to be extended to Donovan Mitchell. It happened. And so now kind of all of that business seems to be out of the way. Or is there more that they have to clear business-wise, you know, before they really start getting back to Salt Lake City and practicing for the start of the season on the 22nd of December?
I think they'd like to have Rudy Gobert's deal done if they can. I think that would certainly be the goal. If they could get a deal, have it in place ahead of next season, go into the year feeling like there's no major question marks this offseason or this coming offseason, you're kind of just building towards being a championship team. Instead of always having a contract or the next thing hanging over your head, if you go in and say, hey, our game plan is Donovan Mitchell's locked up, Rudy Gobert's locked up, Jordan Clarkson's locked up, you've got Royce O'Neal locked up for the long term. Yeah, you'll have to figure out Mike Conley, but Bojan Bogdanovic has another 3 years on his contract. But you've got your core. You know what you're doing, and then you tinker. And it's easy to tinker. It's hard to feel like, hey, we've got all these pressure points and big spots that we have to take care of and address. The Jazz shouldn't be in that spot, and they really won't be if they can address Rudy Gobert.
So the signing of Favors, what does that do to the Udoka Azubuku? Is he a project? Is he a guy that's here going to learn, or where does he fit into things now?
There must be some belief in the Jazz that Derek Favors can play the power forward still and not just be a backup center. Because I don't think you give a guy who's coming in to play 14 minutes behind Rudy Gobert $27 million over three seasons. I just don't think that would have been the Jazz's approach. They must feel like there's 20 minutes a game for him to play. So maybe he gets all 14 of those minutes behind Rudy Gobert, and then he gets another six at power forward when you're resting Bojan Bogdanovic for stretches, when either Juwan Morgan or Jarrell Brantley or George Niang aren't playing those minutes. And that's where Udoka Azubuki switches up and plays the backup center, plays the third string for 6 minutes, and you're glad you have him and you let him develop. And if he's really good, then you like him, and either he replaces Derek Favors in time, or he replaces Rudy Gobert in time, or he's valuable enough that you can trade him for a better first-round pick. And that's maybe where there's value in that draft pick of, hey, you've got a starting center who catches lobs, and another team wants him, and he's a good defensive anchor, but he's a little bit repetitive on your roster, but somebody else will be willing to give up a good asset to get him because he can play. That's where there might be value in that pick for the Jazz.
Ben, one of the other things here before we get out is, they had the release today of the new City Edition jerseys. I know that's not a big deal for guys like Scott Mitchell, but that's a
most important thing to me.
It's a huge deal. How do they come up with these things? Because it used to be like you tried to change anything in the NBA, but now with these Nike contracts, it seems like the fan favorite is just change these things around. It's basically the same gradient city jersey type situation they had before, but now with the black, it fades to black a lot more quickly toward the bottom of the jerseys.
Yeah, you know, this is a funny thing. I've actually talked to some people close to the team about how they come up with these designs or what's like the impetus to make these changes. And they're on a Nike contract, obviously, like the rest of the league is. And Nike makes you change these up every few years just to make sure that they kind of have new product on the shelf. So this ends up being kind of a big stress on the team. It's hard to do. It's hard to come up with a good jersey. It's really easy to come up with a terrible jersey. it's hard to come up with a good jersey, and the Jazz have to do that, and they've had to find a way. And the guy who did it, who coincidentally is named Ben also, it's not me, but he does a really fantastic job, and he's done a nice job kind of redesigning this team.
Well, like look, purple. Well, I'll tell you what a bad jersey is when you're losing in them. It doesn't matter what color they are. And so those yellow, those gold jerseys, they were already kind of like, ooh, they got an uphill battle. When they started losing in those, everybody was like, those are the worst jerseys I've ever seen. So
hey, don't forget, they won Game 7 in Oklahoma City in those jerseys.
Forgot about that. But they are ugly. They're ugly as sin. So I'm excited to see those jerseys on the shelves as well. Ben, thanks for hanging out with us. We'll talk to you again. It's Ben Anderson. You read his byline at KSLSports.com. And we'll take our break. We'll come back. Jeremiah Jensen from KSL 5 Television is going to join us. The locals in the NFL, maybe the biggest weekend of all the local teams anywhere else across the country. Stay right here with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.